interviewee is Mr. Thomas Inge. The interviewer is Milton Carpenter, November 7th, 1980. The address is 815 Anson Street.
No. Yes, sir, and, you know, feel free.
I just want to know how you're going to do it.
feel free to expound upon anything. Right? Okay, first one is, how long did you live in the Vinegar Hill neighborhood?
Well, I was born in the Vinegar Hill neighborhood. I was born at 333 West Main.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I've been living there from then on until after I married. Then I bought this place.
Mm-hmm.
And this was white neighborhood mostly when I bought it. And people didn't want me in here, but I came on here.
Right. What time was that? What year?
That was in 1942, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Who else lived in your household at Vinegar Hill? Either time, when you were...
You mean during my lifetime?
Yes, sir.
My mother, my father, and all of my sisters and brothers were born there, and they moved out. I came from a big family of nine children, three sisters and five brothers, and myself made six boys.
Mm-hmm. Nice healthy family. Mm-hmm. How far was this from the store?
It was up over the store.
It was up over the store.
Yeah,
okay.
We lived there in that building.
Okay, and how many rooms was in this store? The entire building all together?
Now.
The store that, no, at the time.
Oh. Seven rooms
at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any other relatives outside, your brother, sister, parents that lived with you, or was it just no aunts or aunts or anything? When you moved away, how often did the family keep in touch? You know, your brothers and all, and sisters, did y'all visit that much?
Well, we'd have get-together. They'd come down most of the time. They all moved away. See, at that time, we didn't have a high school here. And they went out to St. Louis to attend high school because my father had a brother out there. And after that, they all went to the University of Minnesota, mm-hmm. where they went into professions, two physicians, and one went into real estate. And one went in the teaching field, but he didn't go to St. Louis, he went to Hampton. Mm-hmm. And the rest of them went to St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. What number child were you, as far as the oldest to the youngest?
I was next to the baby.
To the baby.
Mm-hmm. I have one sister younger than I am.
Mm-hmm. And you inherited the store. I understand that you did play a very vital role in the urban renewal. You was working with them.
Beg pardon?
The urban renewal. I understand you played a very big role.
Yes, I took a very active part until I found that they were about to put me out of business, and then I kind of pulled out of it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't working with someone putting myself out of business.
Of course not.
So I got out of it then, and I fought it to save my
business,
because
yeah.
I was only 50-some then. And I wasn't ready for retirement at that age. And I didn't know anything else I could do at that age after I got out and got out. I don't know whether I could get a job or not. I'd be 57 yeah. years old. People don't want to hire you then, you know. And so I went out in the fight. I won out enough to retain my building. And then I got ready to sell. The city told me to let them know. And I let them know that I would willing and ready to sell, they told me that they were no longer interested. So I just hung on there until as the supermarkets began to get closer and closer and the competition got keener and keener, my business dwindled down smaller and smaller. And so to the last, I wasn't making any money, but I was enjoying being there and meeting the people and talking with everybody knows me almost in this town, the older people in there. And so I enjoyed that. And I think my wife kind of enjoyed it too. She came there after my mother died and worked with me and my father. And then after my father died, she and I took, before he died, 3 or 4 years before he died, we took over the business. And we ran until we closed on the 31st of October in 1979.
As far as your role with the urban renewal, how did they make you want to help them, you know, get involved with what kind of?
They were really the mayor of the town appointed me to assist them, and one other black, but. And I worked along with it. We were interested in public housing, they were calling it then. Mm-hmm. And then it turned out that the government got into it with this urban renewal. And then they finally got working on putting these people out of business. And that's the time I pulled out of it. Because I wasn't going to work in a project to put myself out of business. So I decided that was time to get out, and I got out, but with no animosity or no bad feeling, no harsh feeling, but I just withdrew from it.
Mm-hmm. So 75% black businesses in
there? Yeah, right in that area.
Okay, good. What was the name of the other black that was on the council? Would you mind telling
me? Beg your pardon?
What was the name of the other black that was on the council with you that was appointed by the mayor?
Mr. Douglas Edwards, he's dead now. We were the two. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I see that or not. Are you still having this thing on?
I can be back up a
at the time when my father, George P. Inge, came to Charlottesville to teach in the public schools, and he taught for several years, and he got up, he had a first grade, what they call a first grade certificate. And his salary was the top salary at that time, which was $28 a month. Mm-hmm. He saw no future in that, so he resigned from the school system, sent in his resignation. And the superintendent begged him to teach one more year. They were building the old Jefferson School that has been torn down now. And the superintendent wanted to at least teach that one day. He told him, no, I finished. I made up my mind, and it's final. And he opened that business. And after that, he enjoyed a very successful business. At one time, when he first opened, only fresh fish you could buy in the city of Charlottesville was at Inge's store. Unless you went to the river and caught them. And the University Hospital, all the professors in the University of Virginia, and all the prominent black, white, poor and rich people dealt there with my father. And from the success of that little store, he educated a family of 9 children, sent them to high school, and most of them to college and professional schools. And he lived to see all of them doing very well. They've been very successful. And one of my brothers is an MD, lives in Oysterville, Massachusetts, up at Cape Cod. He tried to retire. He was practicing in Newark. And when he went to Cape Cod, he stopped at a filling station, and the man looked at his light and said, "You an MD?" He said, "Yes, but I'm coming up here. I'm retire. And he said, no, sir, you can't retire up here. He says, we need doctors up here. We need doctors. You can't retire. They're not going to let you retire at the time that you're a doctor. You just got to work some. So now he works 3 days a week. He just couldn't turn flat down. But he didn't want to do that. And my other brother still lives in East Orange, and he and George practice there. He didn't want to retire. He enjoys still working. But my other brother, he enjoys his work, but he preferred the retirement if he could get, he could very well do it, and he could afford to do it financially, but they wouldn't let him retire, so he still works 3 days a week. And it takes either four or five weeks vacation once a year. And my oldest brother, when he died, he was principal of the senior high school in San Antonio, Texas. That was before integration. When integration came, right many of his students went over to the white school, but then the white ones come over to his school. They had what they called freedom of choice integration. And the choice of the whites was stay with the black school. So he didn't have any trouble with that. But he had one right funny incident there. Before he retired, before he took the principalship of that school, he was a barber and a carpenter and a painter. And he had done some work. He used to cut the superintendent of the public schools, and he used to cut his hair. So he'd been working along pretty good little while, and he said, well, Mr. Ahrens, now that we are so well acquainted with each other, I might as well, I guess it's all right for me to call you George. So he said, no, I don't think that's going to work, because if you call me George, I'm going to have to call you John, and your friends won't understand that, so we better not start that. He just told him, he said,
right.
And he goes, oh,
okay.
Will you take that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, I like that.
That was right cute.
It was. I like that. I like that. This is kind of like getting away from the subject, but I was wondering, how many other blacks had the opportunity? Well, I guess your father was very resourceful and he sent all y'all to
school. Well, not all of the blacks who went to school, they took teachers' courses, and either went into professions like embalming, funeral directing, and that sort of thing, or they went into business. There used to be four black grocers who had pretty nice business in the earlier days. They all died out, the older ones. Mm-hmm. One man's son runs the store now, but he didn't succeed his father. Mr. Allen over here, his father used to run a store, grocery store. But he opened years after that, which he's been very successful.
But what do you think made y'all that much more successful than other families?
Well, the location had a lot to do with it. And then my father had a lot of determination. You got to have more than just, and he had fairly good training. He went to Hampton. He and Booker Washington were there at the same time. They were friends, but not classmates. But he always kept in touch with Booker until he died. And Booker used to come to the store there when he was this way. In fact, he used to stop at the store there because blacks didn't have anywhere else to stop. See, they couldn't get in combination at any hotels or motels or anything of that kind.
Booker T could, though, couldn't he? Booker T could.
No. Booker didn't like regular black.
I thought they liked Booker. I thought the white people liked Booker T back then.
They liked him, but they didn't like him.
Yeah, I was.
He was a very highly respected man.
Right.
But he was black, and no black entered those hotels. I've had experiences. My wife and I have been here before this motels and hotels opened up twice. The Hampton Quartet used to come here, and we took care of them. And the man who traveled with him, they went on his goodwill tours all through the North. He was white. He stayed at the hotel, and he would come over here early in the morning and have breakfast with us and his quartet and get on the road. But that quartet couldn't stay down there at the motel. Not doing since we've been living here.
Yeah, I was reading this this particular article in here that you talked to someone. Who was it?
Yes, Brian.
I was reading this article when you were interviewed by, I guess it's Arrington, Gene Arrington. But anyway, you were talking about the incident when Booker T came to the barbershop.
That's right. That's
and the guy almost.
That's right. My father used to tell that it's true. He said Booker had his breakfast and he told me, my father said, I'm going down to the barbershop right there the next building. And he said, yes, I'm going down there and get a shave.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, all right. So after he got set together, my mother came on the stove. He walked on down there to see how it's getting along. So man was shaving Booker. So this fella went to school to my father. He said, do you know who that is you shave? He said, no, sir, Mr. Ed, I don't know. He said, that's Bill Larkin. He said, he nicked him right here. I said, and I went to try to cut my head through. That was just nerve, you know.
Right.
He was so shocked when he told me Bill Larkin.
Right. Tell me, Mr. Ed, how far back can you trace your relatives in Charlottesville? How far back can you trace your relatives in Charlottesville?
Oh,
your father's father or?
My father wasn't born here. My mother and my wife people were born here. But we have a very interesting family. I mean, my wife and I, because my wife people were all freeborn people. They were half Indian. They were mixed up with the American Indians. You know, Indians weren't going to be enslaved.
Okay, you're saying about your wife's...
Oh, on my wife's side, they were all freeborn Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Her ancestors were not born in slavery, none of them, on her mother's side. They were Indians, white. And they had a little black blood maybe, but they were none of them, all of them were freeborn. And on my father's side was a little different. I won't go into that, but anyhow.
Okay.
If you want.
Okay.
Vinegar Hill.
Would you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
There are several stories. Come on. There are two or three different stories about how Vinegar Hill got its name. My father used to tell this story, that a barrel of vinegar fell off at the top of the hill and rolled down and broke down that somewhere on Vinegar Hill, and after that it was always called Vinegar Hill. And that to me sounds reasonable, whether it is not.
Okay.
It's true or not, I don't know. But that's the story that he tells of Vinegar Hill. And when he opened the store in 1891 on the first day of July, Main Street, West Main, up there in the block where my store is now, where my store was a mud road, no pavement. And in the early days, he has seen teams, four horse teams get stuck, and they had to bring two more horses from the delivery stable to pull them out of the mud right in front of his store. And that's how long he had been there, all of that time. And myself, I have seen oxen-drawn cart go by my store, my father's store, rather, during my boyhood days. And those things, to me, are memories that very few people in Charlottesville know anything about. They're either not old enough or they didn't get around in that section.
Let me ask you about, like, were there any divisions in Vinegar Hill? Any, like, class divisions between,
Cox Road, Cox Hill, Cox Hill, that's what you're talking about.
That's where they built the West Haven.
Okay.
That was the old Cox Road. Mm-hmm. And that was the kind
Cox
of...
Cox Road was in there. Mm-hmm. Is that what you said, division?
Yes,
yeah.
Ma'am.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that was inside of Vinegar Hill at the time?
No,
right over here.
That's Star Hill down there.
Okay, Star Hill. Okay. Yeah. Where is this?
Vinegar Hill is in that Star Hill area.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so Vinegar Hill is...
I don't know where Star Hill got its name.
Yeah, you were wondering about that. You know, they painted a building there with the big words Star Hill. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that area. Mm-hmm. That includes
that whole
entire
area.
So you said that West Haven was Cox Road. Is that down the street?
Cox's
Road.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and
they
had a run street.
Is that down
the street?
The man.
It's
over.
Old name was Cox.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But the man who owned that thing is on it.
Okay.
Now
I'm gonna stop talking because I didn't mean to get into it.
No problem.
This is mostly for our class. He's explaining the bicentennial thing that they have too.
Mm-hmm.
But we each have to write a paper that we get. So
yeah.
Tapes help us do our papers.
Uh-huh.
So we can
write it. If they weren't working on. You know, like, were there many church activities?
Well, most of the leisure time was spent in church activities, I suppose, because when I was a youngster, the church was as much a social center as it was a religious center.
Mm-hmm.
But now the churches have gotten out of the social part and they want it all religious now. And I think this is my opinion. I think that's a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I think the church should still have its social side as well as its religious side. And that was one place. And then they went to the movies, but I never went because, I don't know, I just never went to the movies.
Were there black theaters and white theaters, or could black and white go to the same movies?
Yeah, but separate, you know, they had to sit.
Oh, like in the back, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then the buses and things, everything was separate. Schools all separate. And I never dreamed that Negroes would be attending the university like they do now. I just thought that was just...
Too much.
Would never happen. I just thought it was something that would never... All Negroes, there were some Negroes were very successful barbers. Two brothers had a barber shop. And then they used to work at these fraternity houses.
Mm-hmm.
Blacks did. They, you know, did the work there, janitor, and clean up and wait on the students at these fraternity houses. And that was about all they did. And shine shoes and that sort of a thing. But after, and work in the University Hospital's orderlies, they've always done that.
Yeah.
There were no black nurses up there of any kind, none.
Mm-hmm.
And the black doctors, they don't even, can't hardly peep in there now. You don't have any right now, here and there. But when they had them, they didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of the problems I felt. That was one of the negative parts of, you know, the renewal, urban renewal. Was it like, you know, like the black doctors and black lawyers, that had been established in the black community, like when they got moved, they had no place to go.
That's right.
You know, and that seemed like it was a tremendous setback to the black population here.
A lot of this black business was down on the hill. They didn't have nowhere to go. They just went out of business.
Yeah, there was nowhere to reset, to set up again.
That's right. Some of the whites went out too.
Were there many white businesses on Vinegar Hill?
Not too many. A few Jews had places there.
Yeah, Jews
would. A few whites. But mostly from the foot of the hill all the way up to my store on the north side of Main Street, the black.
What church did you go to?
First Baptist, Fourth and Seventh and Main.
Okay, so that one's still existing now, right? That one's that's still there, right?
Yeah, that's the oldest church in town, a black church.
Right.
We're having an anniversary now.
November the 30th, right?
Mm-hmm. You ought to come down too.
We talked with Mrs. Franklin.
Oh yeah.
A few days ago, and she invited us. I'm pretty sure I'll be there though, November the 30th.
I'm supposed to be on that program. I don't appear much now, but I'm going to be downstairs as one of the toastmasters. I told him I wanted light entertainment. I can have a lot of fun down there because you said they didn't want it, you know.
Right.
Not like in somebody's pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
Although I get in there occasionally.
Right. I can imagine.
But the sharing is quite a problem with me because I can't have hair and that makes it very difficult.
Mm-hmm. How did most people live in Vinegar Hill? You said most people went to movies?
Huh?
You said most people went to movies in their spare time?
Movies and children used to play a lot of marbles when I was coming along.
Yeah.
And they used to play.
That's some people.
They made their own and they used to play hopscotch. You never see them playing that no more now.
I know. You don't see many kids playing marbles.
Well,
there isn't much dirt around here. There's not much dirt around here, you know, to play marbles with now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But,
and that hopscotch was quite a game. Jump rope and all that. They made that. She wasn't in the Red Rain. I served on the first advisory board appointed by the mayor, recreation board. I served on that.
Mm-hmm.
That was when they were trying to start recreation. You know, the city recreation.
Right.
She didn't have any recreation program.
For any kids or just for black kids?
Mm-hmm.
Was this for all kids or black kids?
All of them, black and white.
But what kind of things came out of this board you was on? I mean, did y'all like develop teams for kids, like basketball or baseball or whatever? Or what kind of recreational facilities came out?
Well, all of this recreation now finally came out. That's what they were doing when mm-hmm. they first organized this advisory board for recreation for the city, and we discussed it and the possibilities and what could be done, and then the powers to be would recommend it to the city, and the city would pass on and finally they worked out a nice recreation program for the city. All people, black, white, adults, children, and all.
That's good. How about community organizations in Vinegar Hill? Were there any?
Oh, that one thing, they had a lot of literary clubs, social and literary clubs, but they were women's clubs.
Uh-huh.
And that's now what they call the Federated Clubs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a national organization now. Mm-hmm. And that they had a lot of those here.
Was your wife a member of any of these?
No, she never joined that. So. My wife was, I don't know, she's not selfish, but she says she, you can have a thing in there, because I just never was inclined that way.
Mm-hmm.
Our father was quite a staunch Mason, but I never joined any secret order. To this day, and now I'm too old, I never will, because I just wasn't inclined to be interested in fraternal organizations.
Mm-hmm.
They have their place in the community, and they develop a lot of talent in the community. And a lot of men develop through those organizations, but I never cared for them myself, and I never joined any. Mm-hmm. Maybe I would have been a better man if I joined some of them.
You never know. I pledge
man, you just blot out that, like when I say, wait a minute, and all like that, you know, you don't put that
on. Oh, y'all gonna go over this several times before I'll listen to this several times before you back up.
Those kind of things wouldn't be necessary to put them on there.
Yeah.
I mean, that would take away from the taste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. Oh, yeah. How long has Vinegar Hill been in existence that you know of before it was destroyed? You know, like, let's say after the Civil War, you have an idea of what time, when people first started moving there and when businesses first started developing there?
I don't know. I have a little thing in my little pamphlet in my store, if I can find it, and it tells how old the building is that I operated the store in, that my father operated the store in. But my father said when he bought that building at that time, they claimed it was one of the oldest buildings in Charlottesville.
Mm-hmm. You know, it was 1889.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's when he bought it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, how about the mayor of Vinegar Hill? I heard something about, well... how did Vinegar Hill fit in with Charlottesville as far as politics? Did most people vote back then? Did y'all have like voting booths set up? Did y'all vote for like the mayor of Charlottesville?
They voted, but they didn't have the interest that they have now. The blacks didn't. I think it has come along through the years. My father always said that no one 21 could live in his house unless they were a voter, registered voter. That's how strong he advocated voting.
Mm-hmm.
He said you weren't a citizen, you weren't a real citizen if you didn't vote. You didn't take advantage of this.
I would like to have met your father.
Sure. He was quite a figure.
Sound like he was.
Huh?
I think that he could have helped me so much.
Yeah, but he's gone on. He used to have a pot-bellied stove right in the center of the back of the store. And he came back there and he said, "In," he said, "I'll tell you, the only reason that I'm elected mayor of this town instead of you is because I'm white."
Ooh.
That's how much he thought of my father.
Mm-hmm.
That's only.
That's true. Were there any city councilmen from Vinegar Hill? Did anybody sit on the council from Vinegar Hill or anything? Anyone who lived in Vinegar Hill participate in politics actively? Were they like, you know, like on the board? I know you said like he was on several boards or whatever, but
they didn't have anything to do with city government. City government was all white. One thing I didn't tell you on that, turn the thing on now. Yeah, well, other people. My father, George P. Innes, and McIntyre were good friends. And McIntyre, Mr. McIntyre, used to visit his store very frequently. And whenever Mr. McIntyre was going to make a gift to Charlottesville, he always discussed it with my father before he made it. And then he made the gift, and he gave the two parks, the McIntyre Park, which he and my father had the understanding would be named after Mr. McIntyre. And the Washington Park, which he discussed with my father, and they decided that that would be named the Booker T. Washington Park. But in some way, the city changed that thing around, and that is now called the George Washington Park, and was supposed to be the Booker T. Washington Park, according to the original understanding among the two men.
Yeah, that's good.
I gave that to somebody else, and they never published it.
I like that. What stands out as being the most significant event in Vinegar Hill? What stands out as being the most significant event in Vinegar Hill from your memories? Like, whenever you think of Vinegar Hill, like, what's the major association do you draw from that?
I don't know.
And I was reading your article, like you're saying, a lot of times, like when students would, when they'd win a game, they'd come by, you know.
The biggest thing I like about, or remember about Vinegar Hill is that all that black business there.
Mm-hmm.
There was Undertaker, Mr. Bell, Jeff Bell started his place on Vinegar Hill. My grandmother had a boarding house on Vinegar Hill. Another man, Mr. Joe Watson, had a shoe cobbler's shop, a shoe repairing shop, they call it now, on Vinegar Hill. Restaurant, Mr. George Jones had a restaurant on Vinegar Hill. There was cleaning and pressing establishment, two of them on Vinegar Hill. There was our store, which was on Vinegar Hill, and John West, the very wealthy black man, lived on Vinegar Hill.
I came across that name in here.
I might have overlooked some of them. That was all I could remember at the time.
Okay, and like my particular report I'm doing on black businesses. Are there any other businessmen that are alive now?
No. The Bell Boys are still operating that firm that their father started.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, I was trying to think.
How about Mr. Payne and the Joker Barbershop? Mr. Payne and the Joker Barbershop? Was that around?
They never were on Main Street. The Joker's Barber Shop used to be on Main Street. That finally they tore that building down. You know, they moved around the corner that from my store. And there was a beauty shop on Vinegar Hill. And then the shop, one of the insurance companies had an office on Vinegar Hill. I don't remember, one of the black insurance companies. I don't remember which one it was. It was either the 7-8 year or the, it was another one, I don't remember the name. But they had an office on Vinegar Hill.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all that I could recall.
Thank you. Were the people who lived in Vinegar Hill close-knit?
Huh?
Were the different families close-knit? I mean, did you feel, okay, like when you got in Vinegar Hill, did you feel like that was home? Like, did neighbors get along very well? Was it a close-knit community?
Oh, yeah,
we got
along
there.
But, you know, we had a rather, we had a rather interesting, we had a rather interesting business because all of the neighbors across the street from us were white.
Good job.
Let me see what y'all bring me. I was wondering whether y'all had gotten naughty back then. And we got along very well with the white neighbors. General Vinegar's people, his ancestor, his grandparents lived across the street. The Vinegar that was quite a figure in the Marines, his great big Marines. His folks lived across, Vandergrift, his folks lived across the street. And another family who worked on the railroad lived across the street. And another family, they were Hillebrands, they lived across the street. And our Harris Hardware was on the right-hand side of Main Street, and Harris's family was across the street on the left-hand side of Main Street. And those were all our neighbors, and they all of those people dealt with us. Some of them ran accounts there.
Mm-hmm. Did many blacks travel outside of Vinegar Hill too much? Did many blacks travel outside of Vinegar Hill a lot?
Oh yeah, they didn't really ever live on there. Hell, they lived all back over here where the church and the recreation center and the park and the King's Market, IDA it is now. All of that was a black section.
Right.
From the back of our store all the way down to Preston Avenue was all black. And then going down Preston Avenue from 4th Street all the way down to McIntyre Road, most of the people living in there were black.
And was all that Vinegar Hill? Was all that considered to be Vinegar Hill?
Yeah, all that was black and there. There were several streets that had been cut out, you know, they were in the Williams Street, and different streets, and I've forgotten some of them, but they were all, those streets were all cut out.
Now, I know that your father, you know, was like a diehard, and, you know, he was, you know, your father had the ability, you know, to progress. Was this characteristic of a lot of people there? Did they have this opportunity?
I think a lot of them did. The business people especially, they did very well. And then, of course, the professional people, they drew nearly all together from the black race, and of course they were naturally going to do well. And the undertakers, they, when the undertakers came, the white would burn black, all black and white, until the first black undertaker that came here was the bellboy's father.
But after the move, would you say that, like, after urban renewal, that the possibilities of this mobility or was limited?
Well, I don't know how to answer that. I think the black people had gained a lot from urban renewal. One thing, the people who went over to West Haven, where some of them had no modern conveniences at all, outside privilege and that sort of a thing, and outside frost-proof toilets, some of them, and that was quite a step up, I think, as far as living conditions were concerned. But some people don't like to be in those things. They want to be out where they feel free. They don't want to be in something. But I think they went there and they learned to like it because it was, I don't know where you ever visited any of those homes and not of those apartments. But they're very, very nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you said, like, for some people it was better, for others it weren't, it was not.
Some people, they had sell their homes, and they didn't get enough of them to buy a home. And they had a home, but they had all modern conveniences. They had maybe gas heat, oil heat, and they had nicely furnished homes, well kept, and they didn't want to move because they didn't have any choice. Mm-hmm. They had to go along here because they didn't have anywhere else to go.
Mm-hmm. Looking at our race as a whole, do you think we're benefited by urban renewal as a whole?
I mean,
look at black businesses, look at our possibilities of progressing.
I think the biggest thing that has hurt black business is the chain store business.
Mm-hmm.
And the chain stores are getting so numerous now and so close together, so they're cutting each other's throat now.
Right.
And it's just no place. My father told me years ago, before he died, that he said, in a few years, a small black business is going to be almost a thing of the past because they cannot meet the competition. I did very well when I first took my father's store over. I would open at 8 o'clock in the morning or before 8 and stay there till 11 o'clock at night. But now all the chain stores are staying on to 11, a lot of them all night long.
24 hours, right.
And so they cut all that up. And I never would accept Sunday hours. I never established Sunday hours. Mm-hmm. But the chain stores are even staying on all day Sunday, some of them.
Yeah, right.
And you can't battle that kind of competition in your life. Until the last, it got where I could go down to the chain stores and buy certain commodities to sell in my store cheaper than I could buy them from the local wholesale dealers.
That's
the kind of competition I was trying to fight with. It's a very foolish kind of competition.
Right.
Fight.
Yeah. That's wild. That is wild.
And that's the truth.
That's amazing. Well, that sort of like goes back to what Booker T was saying. You know, because like I know in his day, Booker T ran up against a lot of other opposition, like Du Bois. You know, because like Booker T was trying to institutionalize economic freedom first. You know, he was trying to get blacks to get into their own businesses so that we could build and hopefully back.
Booker Washington helped the South a lot, although the black people don't give him credit. You know, everybody can't be a professor, a professional man, a doctor, a lawyer, a degreed man.
Mm-hmm.
That somebody's got to lay the brick, and somebody's got to mix the mortar, and somebody's got to pour the cement and do cement work. And Brother Watson believed in having men trained to do that. Somebody had to do the farming. He didn't believe in having any man go out and try to farm. He was doing train the man to farm.
Mm-hmm.
Let him learn it scientifically and then go out and farm.
So
and a lot of people don't understand that about him. They just say, he didn't want Negroes to do nothing but farm, use hands, but he wasn't trained to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the difference is.
And also, like, a lot of black leaders now are realizing that if blacks had started their own businesses back then, we'd be more economically secure now.
That's right.
You know, because, like, okay, let's say if your father's store could have, like, began, and then if y'all could have branched, you know, like, instead of Avengers, it could have been like another Safeway almost. You know, if you'd started early.
Down at Hampton, where my brother used to live.
How you doing?
They had a black co-op. And in this black co-op, all the black people, a lot of them, they encouraged them to buy that. But I think that thing finally went out of business. They couldn't meet the change or competition. I knew what to do. Can't nobody meet it. And people like the A&P, they own their own canneries, they own their own bakeries.
Right.
They
right.
They buy a little of these other brands of stuff just to have it in there because some people insist on having it. But the biggest volume of that business is they own the factories and the industry that's putting the cans out and everything else. And you, it's going to be fooling yourself thinking you need that kind of competition because you can't do it. And you can luck up and get a location maybe somewhere where you do well, but the average place, you just cannot meet it.
What leaders, black or white, inside or outside the community, you know, Vinegar Hill, do you think have done the most for blacks? And could I have like what you feel in there, what you think most blacks would feel about that? You know, do you think
what agency you say?
No, what leader?
Oh, what leaders?
Mm-hmm. Political leader. Be it Johnson or
the
B.
black
King or
black leaders have contributed quite a bit to the success of black people, quite a bit, and the whites have contributed a lot to it too. So I think that you cannot draw a line as to who has done the most, but they have been a part of the general growth of the town.
Yes,
and that's what I think has happened. That's my idea of what has happened. And I think the whites have contributed a lot and the blacks have contributed a lot to the success of our people along with the success of the entire community. And the churches have contributed a lot.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Could you single
I don't want to leave them out.
Could you single out one black leader though?
Huh?
Could you single out one leader?
Well, I wouldn't like to do that, you know, cut that thing out.